You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Greg Ducharme. And Greg, an emergency pod for arguably one of the bigger golf news days we've had in some time. It felt like it was just nugget after nugget after nugget this morning.
Yeah, this was very interesting and a very good listen from Commissioner Jay Monahan, and very interesting to read all the comments and all the remarks. But this is the amazing thing to me is how quickly this changed. You know, there was a players only meeting last week and this stuff set into effect right away. And I think that's a really nice change of pace for the PGA Tour. Moving really quickly on things, and players are going to see the benefit right away.
Yeah, we talked about this before, and I actually described changes happening on the PGA Tour like trying to turn a battleship. And I thought it would be multiple years before they could do anything of substance. Jay Monahan had a presser this morning and announced these changes effective immediately. And Greg, we can kind of go through these in a couple of sections here. So let's start with this one. Top players move to a more unified schedule moving forward. So this, to me, is kind of the big takeaway from the Tiger Rory Ran meeting at Hotel DuPont in Wilmington last week, is that they look each other in the eyes and they say, hey, are we willing to kind of unify our schedule around what looks to be 20 events? You know, all the elevated events like the Genesis Invitational, the API, the Memorial, the Match Play, the Tournament of Champions, the 3 playoff events, the 4 events that we don't even know what are going to be elevated yet. Like, we're going to see the top players get together like 20 times next year, which is way more than we see right now.
Yes, it is. But it is and it isn't. In a way, you look at these events and they are the events where we see the top players. Every once in a while you see somebody potentially skip one. But when I look at this, so again, I think these are the events where we see the top players coming together for the most part. What I find really interesting about this is the definition of top players. And this isn't the best players based on official World Golf ranking or the best players based on their position in the FedEx Cup or exemptions or anything like that. It's the top players in terms of their impact, right? Based on the player impact program. And I find that to be very, very interesting. And ultimately, this is a promise for those guys coming together and saying, yeah, we're going to play. And that's at least for this year. It sounds like that may change in 2024. But the exact criteria of what defines a top player is unknown beyond this upcoming year. And I find that very interesting.
That's a really big point I want to mine into for a second. But before we do that, credit to Brendan Quinn here who put this together. He's with The Athletic. He just kind of did a little bit of napkin math. So basically, over this year, in 2022, 15 of the top 30 players got together in the same field 5 times. That's it. 5 times. Now there's almost a guarantee of, I guess, depending on what other events they play, like at least 18 times. We've actually never seen independent contractors, right? It's part of this whole thing where they have all agreed to play the same event. That's generally unheard of.
Yes, it is. So say that to me again. I didn't see this napkin math. Yep. Say, yeah, go ahead.
15 or more of the top 30 players. So he kind of said of the top guy. He did not know. This was from a couple of days ago. He did not know the top players at the time. So 15 yeah. of the top 30 players competed in the same field only five times. Match play, Scottish Open, Genesis, Waste Management, the Memorial.
Okay, so he's excluding majors and playoffs, I assume.
He's excluding majors.
Yeah.
And I actually think he might have tweeted this before the playoffs. So, okay, so let's say right. so that's 5 plus 4. So maybe it's closer to 10 or 12.
Right, right, which is a lot closer to what we're going to see here, okay. if that makes sense. And so, again, I'm in no means saying that this is a bad idea, but the key to me in this is the promise. And if you're, and again, I think this is why this happened so quickly. If you're Jay Monahan and this is put on your desk and you have top players agreeing to play the same event, well, that's a no brainer. There's no decision to be made there because this is something that you can go and sell. We found this out in the court case or the hearing, the TRO a couple weeks ago. The PGA Tour makes a lot of their money based on the promise that they can deliver to their sponsors, to the television partners, to these deals. And that's why they had their limitation on non-compete events because of the promise that they're able to make in advance. And this is a stronger promise and a much bigger quantity of players agreeing to that. So I think that's it's a very interesting thing and a no-brainer for Jay Monahan, but what it takes is the players agreeing to do it.
What I didn't see, and I should have caveated this at the top, like there's a lot of information we still don't know about a lot of the logistics and a lot of details. We have basically got an outline of this. So these are elevated events, but they are not, they're not smaller field events, right? I mean some of them are by nature, but this is right. not like top 60 players, no cut, which is something we had kind of heard before. The Memorial is still going to be that 120 golfer field. It's just that everyone has kind of agreed to get together at the same spots.
Right. And again, it's only the 20 top players. Again, most impactful players, right? 20, you could say most popular players that have agreed to do it. But also if you read the release that Jay Monahan sent out, it's if eligible. So, right, you're not going to necessarily get them in the Tour Championship. That some of them may not qualify. The Tournament of Champions, same deal. Some of them may not qualify. So it doesn't change the events, right? It's not like a complete copycat of LIV where they're going to smaller fields, no cuts with a $20 million purse. They're taking the events that they currently have and agreeing to play in them. And the purse is raised, which we knew about a little while ago. And today we learned that more are going to raise. So it's a win for the players because the purses are going to be playing for more money. That's a win. It's a win for the fans because you now have a commitment that they're all going to play together. Again, I would argue it's not going to feel a whole lot different in that regard. I still think these events, well, you're going to get four additional ones, which I think is a big deal. I think that really adds to it and changes it. Depending on what they are.
I hope those rotate, Greg.
Yeah, I've seen that idea floated around.
That, to me, is a really great idea, or else some of these events are going to get boxed out on having anybody in them, right? But if you rotate, if next year the four are, I don't know, Phoenix and RBC Heritage and whatever, and then in 2023 or 2024, it's John Deere and the 3M. Like, I think that is... I don't want to say an olive branch, but I just think it's a good idea for the game.
Well, it'd be very cool, right? And we kind of saw this during COVID after the lockdown when everybody came back and you had all the top players playing the RBC Heritage and all the top players playing some events that we typically don't see. It really spiced them up and you got to see what those golf courses are all about from a different perspective. So I do think that's a cool idea. I'm not sure it's going to happen. Because again,
not sure either.
Yeah, right. Like, where does all this come from? And Jay talked about this in the press conference. Where does the money come from? Well, a big factor in this is we can go to sponsors and say we can offer more and get more in return. It's a value exchange, if you will. And so I wonder if all, if every event has the capability of doing that. And maybe they do, I don't know, but it's really a cool idea.
Realistically, those events will be sold to the highest bidder, right? Like if John Deere is willing to pony up more for a title sponsor, that will be an elevated event. If 3M is willing to, that'll be an elevated, like that. That's the way I see this going.
Right. It's unlikely that the players cherry picked that. They said, look, we'll agree to this number. But now it's the job of the executives to go and sell it and go make the business end of it work. So, well, look, it's a really cool idea. I don't think that's a realistic idea.
Okay. Top players. That is something we are going to have to get used to hearing. Top players. That's a term now in our world. And it's important because for the 2022-2023 season, a top player will be defined as players who finish in the top 20 under the current PIP player impact program and players who finish in the top 20 under the revised PIP, which is what they are revising. And oh, by the way, that PIP fund that we've had so much fun poking at and saying, oh my gosh, can you believe they're giving out popularity contest money, has doubled, not only in number of players who will receive it from 10 to 20, but from $50 million to $100 million. Greg.
Yes.
This is, in my opinion, this is the most interesting part, because this is tying together top players based on ability and popularity, which is not necessarily something we have ever seen in a PGA Tour that has been eat what you kill.
Right. And again, when this first started, I wasn't a huge fan of it. And I'm not necessarily a huge fan of it now. I just understand it a little more. This is the first time I've looked at this list and said, okay, this is really something of value to the PGA Tour. This is a valuable program. And before this, I wondered if it was a way, I mean, there are all kinds of conspiracy theories out there, right? Is this a way to just pay players to keep them happy? Is that really enough to do that? I don't know, but I think it's now twofold. And today it really became twofold. At least some of my mind changed on this, where you're rewarding players for their impact. Okay. If you want to do that, that's fair. I think there are probably other ways you could invest those dollars, but at the same time, it becomes a tool to quantify what players are contributing to the PGA Tour. And now when you go and sell it to a title sponsor, to an event, it becomes a lot more valuable. So in a way, it quantified that rather than just, oh, okay, well, you know, my favorite players are X, Y, and Z. The big names are X, Y, and Z. The big names are the guys playing the best. Well, no, we actually have some data that supports who the most impactful players are based on reasons X, Y, and Z, which again, they're hard to follow. They're hard to understand. I don't understand. I don't know how you get there if you're a young player, but I think there's a sales element to it.
Jacob, whose idea do you think this was?
Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, it's the Ricky Fowler rule, right? I mean, and Tiger Woods as well, because he's not playing as many. But this is a stark contrast from the pure meritocracy of the PGA Tour. Now, I'm not saying it's not necessary, Greg, because maybe it's necessary. Because I've said this countless times, what I believe LIV Golf did correctly was not necessarily care as much about recent form guys that are contending on a regular basis, but getting guys that people care about, right? Phil Mickelson and Bubba Watson. And, you know, maybe it's Lee Westwood, maybe it's Sergio Garcia, maybe it's Brooks Koepka, you know, all these guys, Bryson, who moves the needle in a lot of different ways. It was a strategic move by them to get popular guys. And the PGA Tour has now, for the first time ever, written in basically, you can be really good or you can be really popular. Those are the two things we need from you. Or one, you need to be one of them.
Yeah. I still think you need to be really good if you want it to last, because it's not a way for you to keep your PGA Tour card. It's not a way for you to get into these events, which again, I think was really for, you know, what I've read on Twitter, I think at least a portion of the public misunderstands that the players on this PIP list aren't getting automatic bids into these events, right? You still have to qualify. All you're doing is promising that you're going to play if you do qualify, which I think is a really big, I think it's a really big aspect to this. But again, is it a necessary thing to reward these guys? Again, I don't know, but I find it interesting that they're now using this list in a much more substantial way than just rewarding players who do well on social media, which of course social media is part of the revised aspect of PIP that's been removed.
Right. Okay. So those are the two biggies. Well, I guess there's one more, but the two biggies, top players now going to a more unified schedule, the PIP and the definition of those top players kind of being expanded and defined. And then this one is interesting as well. So there is a earnings assurance program, which, Greg, from what I understand, fully exempt Korn Ferry and PGA Tour members are basically going to have a minimum earning. Now, this is going to be an advance on their winning. So the minimum for any fully exempt Korn Ferry Tour or PGA Tour player is $500,000. That means if I'm a fully exempt Korn Ferry Tour player and I earn $200,000, the PGA Tour will give me $300,000 more.
Now, all right, I read this the same way the first time too and had conversations with people about it. But I went back and read it again. And it's not Korn Ferry Tour players. It's players from the Korn Ferry Tour category that are on the PGA Tour. So you retweeted a great thread from PGA Tour Communications.
Yes, I'm looking at it.
If you go back and read that, it's the Korn Ferry Tour category.
Correct.
Which is an eligibility category of PGA Tour players. So it's not that I'm exempt. I'm a full member of the Korn Ferry Tour and I have this league minimum now. I graduated from the Korn Ferry Tour last year. Now I'm a rookie on the PGA Tour and now I have this this league minimum. The league minimum is only a PGA Tour thing. And I think it's a very reasonable thing, right? Rookies or players who are just getting back on the PGA Tour can take it up front. It relieves a lot of stress. It relieves them in their travel duties. But the reality is most players are going to make that. 167 players made at least $500,000 last year on the PGA Tour. So it's, I think it's a smart thing to do. It gives these players some comfort, especially for the rookies. I mean, you can come out of the Korn Ferry Tour and play really well, and you're not really netting a lot of dollars. But now all of a sudden, you go there and you know, all right, I'm okay for this year, which I think is great.
Andrew Landry, the first guy who did not make 500,000, made 498.7. Andrew, call the PGA Tour. They owe you $1,300. That's what they owe you to get there.
Oh, so it's 163, not 167.
Oh, yeah. Okay. According to the, right, so, I don't know what Jacob's showing me, but according to what that is.
Yeah, but you're right. You're right about the numbers. So look, it's great. And I don't think it really costs the PGA Tour that much. With this and the next thing I'm sure we'll talk about, Jay said that it would be, a $2 to $3 million expense or investment, whatever you want to call it, for the PGA Tour this year. So I think it's a really smart, equitable, fair move for the guys on the other side of the PGA Tour.
Right. So a lot of this is going to really help the stars, obviously. This part, the earnings assurance program, and the next part, the travel stipend program, are to help the bottom. So for non-exempt members, and this is straight from PGA Tour comms, so 126 to 125 and below, they will receive $5,000 for every missed cut, to help subsidize travel, tournament-related expenses, and it does not impact tournament purses. This is something we had also heard. I mean, we heard this before LIV existed. We heard guys that would be like, you know, if you go on a bad run of 2 months, you're like losing money out here with how expensive it is to travel.
Yeah, I mean, try to go on a Orbitz or Expedia and try to look at the prices of flights.
No free ads here.
It's really expensive traveling around, and then you got to get a hotel and you got to get it for a week. I don't know how all that works, where you book the hotel for a week and then you only stay for two nights. Is there a cancellation policy in the room block? But look, these things matter to some of these guys. There's not necessarily huge margins for every single player out there on the PGA Tour. And this is something that Michael Breed, who I work for, has talked about for years. Everybody who plays in a PGA Tour event should be paid, even if they miss the cut. You're still out there. You're creating a full field. Some of the other things he said is, you know, you're dealing with fans. You're signing autographs, some more than others, of course. But you're out there creating an event. You're playing in a group with the leader, and you know, maybe some of your shots are on TV. Some of the fans are watching you play. This is it's work. And just because you work 2 days and not four doesn't mean you should walk away with zero. So I think this is, again, another really fair aspect. And I think it's something that is just simply the right thing to do. And they've done it in other ways with the fully exempt members, right? The $500,000 stipend at the beginning of the year or the end of the year, whatever your choice is. That's a way to make sure that players get paid. The FedEx Cup bonus system pays everybody through 150. You miss the playoffs and you still make $85,000 from the FedEx in bonuses. And to me, that helps cover those missed cuts and that travel expense. But I think this is a really wise thing and the right thing to do.
That's the meat of what we learned today. Again, obviously lots of details still to come. Liv did release a statement. It's short. Says, quote, Live Golf. Sorry, let me start this over. Says, quote, Live Golf is clearly the best thing that's ever happened to help the careers of professional golfers. End quote. Greg, we have to address this. There's a million comments in the chat. I can't pull them all up, but this is obviously a direct response to what Live Golf has been able to carve out of the game of golf over the course of the last handful of months. The PGA Tour has now, in my opinion, played their best card, right? To date, right? Some of the stuff they tried to do earlier, and we was like, this isn't all that great. I don't know. To me, this is their best card to date. There's going to be people who are unhappy because they're going to say it shouldn't have taken a threat from LIV Golf to accomplish this. Or they're going to say, oh, you're just copying LIV Golf, or why didn't you do this before? There's still going to be some level of bad taste in people's mouth with this.
Yes. And to address some of those things, one, I don't believe that this is just a copy of LIV. I think this is improving some of the players' wants and desires and some of the things that have come out as a result of LIV, but it's still in the framework, very much so in the framework of how the PGA Tour has always operated. So that would be the first thing. I don't see this as a copy of LIV in any way, but there are some small elements, some small perks for the players that LIV offers, like paying travel expenses and like having guaranteed money that do match here. Again, it's not signing bonuses. It's not guaranteed life-changing money. It's just, you're not going to lose money when you play the PGA Tour, which they probably should have done a while ago if it was possible. But it seems to me, Rick, like this has been just accelerated because of LIV Golf. The last thing that I would add is I think we learned how unhappy players really were with the PGA Tour. In this move and in this transition. And I don't know how they handled it. I don't know if they went to the commissioner, if they went to the player advisory council and voiced these complaints, if they were just swirling around in the locker room, or if they just didn't really say anything because they thought this was the only way. And when another option came up, the complaints came up at the same time. I don't know what happened in that regard. But what I do know is when you have a challenger and you make a response to it, that's a good thing.
I have been critical of the PGA Tour, obviously. I've been critical of LIV plenty of times. I'm actually quite surprised and almost impressed with how quickly they were able to do this. And maybe it means that we watch 57 minutes of commercials every hour. I don't know what it's going to look like, Greg. Like, I don't know how they're going to pay for all this. But I guess it shows the power. I mean, literally, of Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy getting into a room with the players and looking them in the eye and say, if we do this, are you committed to this? And then taking that plan to Jay Monahan and basically say, I mean, obviously I don't know what was said, but like this is the plan. This is what will make us happy, I guess. And how can we get there? It really is amazing how quickly this came together based on what we knew of the conversations.
So I want to ask you about this. It happens very quickly because the players come together and decide on this. Mm-hmm. Do you think the players beforehand thought there was these particular players, right? These top guys, these guys that are in the players only meeting. Do you think they were happy with the way the PGA Tour operated before? And now they're trying to serve the fans, serve the sponsors, generate more income. Like, do you think they're starting to get creative because they feel like they have to? Or do you think these players were what do you think led to this from the players' perspective? Because that's ultimately why all this happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the 22. I don't think those guys are super unhappy. I don't know how you could be, right? I mean, they've made insane amounts of money. They set their own schedule, all that stuff. But I do think that there came a time where some other competitor said, hey, we can give you a lot of money for this. And quite frankly, Phil Mickelson and his leverage on the PGA, like Phil was through the wall, created the leverage. He'll never see the leverage that he earned from the PGA Tour, but he just earned it for everybody else. And I think that they were able to say, listen, you know, we can have this phrase we've been talking about, have your cake and eat it too. It's like, we can get a lot of the same stuff here, still be able to play in events that we think are prestigious, still definitely be able to play major championships, not have to answer questions about where the money's coming from, XYZ, not have to go through this massive. I just think it was an opportunity and they seized it.
All right. You brought something else up. It leads to another question I have. Do you think this changes the legacy that Phil Mickelson leaves behind?
No. Phil Mickelson will be right or wrong. Phil Mickelson will be the biggest loser in all of this. He will have $200 million, but he will be the biggest loser. And he will not, even if he was the linchpin for all of the great things that PGA Tour players are seeing right now, Tiger Woods will be given the credit. Rory McIlroy will be given the credit. Mm. So whether Phil was right, wrong, in the middle, the whole time, I know how humans work, and he will not be given the credit for this.
Wow. Very interesting. You're right. I mean, I can see it now. Tiger Woods saved the PGA Tour.
Second time. Right. Tiger Woods has now saved the PGA Tour twice, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
It's fascinating. Speaking of Tiger, there is more to talk about. More news broke today, and this will obviously not be the last we hear. We'll get, as we get more information about the new state of the PGA Tour. But let me remind everybody, First Cut merch, 20% off. 20%. If you don't have that sweet live money, you don't have that sweet PGA Tour money, you want to save 20%, you can do that. First Cut 20 at checkout. You can go over and scan the QR code that Jacob has on the screen right now. Get yourself the etched water glasses. Get yourself some hats, some shirts, some sweatshirts, all that fun stuff. Again, the code you're looking for there, First Cut 20. Rory and Tiger Woods have unveiled a plan for what is essentially a new tour, TGL. And they've described how this is going to work a little bit. We're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. Okay. More. TGL. What does TGL stand for? Do we know?
No, I don't.
Did they ever announce what TGL stands for?
The Tiger Golf League?
They did.
What is it?
I got to go look it up, but I remember them formally announcing what it stands for.
Tiger Golf League? That would be interesting.
I want to think it's like the Golf League, but we'll...
It's not really the Golf League, is it?
I was thinking, when I read that, I was thinking of...
The Golf Club?
The Golf Club, yes. The video game.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can just call like the Country Club, right? Just like call yourself.
Yeah.
ECC. Could it be Tomorrow Golf League?
That's probably what it is.
That's the name of their company. Do we have any idea what TGL says? Okay, while we figure that out.
Jacob will look it up.
All right, while we figure that out. So Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods with this Tomorrow company have come together to announce TGL, which is going to be golf seemingly like we've never seen before. So it is going to be, quote, tech-infused. They're going to be inside in an arena or in some type of venue with a lot of data and probably like virtual reality and shot trackers and all this stuff. And it's going to be 15 regular season Monday night matches that will have some type of playoff system. And then all of this is kicking off in January of 2024.
Playoffs?
Yes. There you go.
I got an answer for you real quick.
Okay. Yeah, it is
Team Golf League. I got to give them credit. They've been very active on social media today. On the Twitter handle, like replying to almost anyone who tweets at them or about them.
Golf League. Team Golf League. All right. Well, I'd call it TGL too.
You know what Tiger loves to do is just remove the vowels from everything. All of it's like just no vowels here, by the way. Just call it something else.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, I think the reason this will have some legs at the start is because of Tiger and Rory, obviously. I mean, I've always thought people would watch Tiger Woods go grocery shopping. I'm sure he's like me. He probably doesn't do that.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, the most rare occurrence possible in the universe is that I see Tiger Woods in a grocery store, because neither of us are ever going to be in there. But all that aside, it's an interesting concept. I'm not sure what to make of it. I feel like I have to see this thing all play out, but it's very clear to me what their mission is. It's to attack the younger golf audience, right? It's quicker pace. It's a shorter window. It's only one day, and it's got the tech. So that seems to be a very clear purpose to me.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past. I believe that in the 2022 golf fan, there's never been a time more so where there's like two different demographics that watch golf. There's the casual weekend viewing golf fan that skews older and less excited about it. And there's the younger, I'm going to watch Thursday morning PGA Tour live. I want to bet on it. I want to track my fantasy teams. I want to play one and done. This is obviously a play at the latter, the younger demographic. They're promising every shot live within a 2 hour primetime match, six different teams of three golfers represented by PGA Tour players. By the way, we should mention this is in partnership with the PGA Tour. So there's obviously going to be a lot of overlap there. You're not going to see the LIV guys in this either. This is a way for Tiger and Rory to, honestly, they could make a ton of money off this and like, you know, solidify the legacy moving forward.
It's almost like they're video games. Both of these guys have been the names of golf video games. It's like their video games come to life, which is a cool concept. Again, I'm not sure it's something that I'm overly interested in. It doesn't necessarily get me excited, but I certainly see their purpose. And I think there is a market that will be interested, even if it's just for Tiger. I mean, there are going to be people who want to who want to see this. And I think it'll generate some buzz when it first starts.
Yeah, we don't have any more information. Like, we have less information about this block than we do on the last block.
Yes.
We've got the mock-ups. Jacob, can you go back to some of those mock-ups there? Yeah, where they're inside an arena. I don't know if this is like, does it have a roof? Like, I don't know what this even remotely looks like. Cause even if you, no matter how big the venue is, you can't have like multiple holes. I don't know. This is,
I originally thought they were going to go set up a simulator in like Cowboy Stadium, you know, like go around big cities. But it sounds like from what I read today, they're going to basically build a venue.
It's not going to travel. It's just going to be like, hey, you go to Jupiter, to the Jupiter Golf Arena,
the Tomorrow Sports Golf Arena, or whatever it is. That was my grasp on my reading today. And we'll see if that takes shape. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to build this. How many people are you going to put in there? But there's certainly opportunity in a venue like this, even outside of TGL, right? There are other things you can do in a venue that seats this many people.
Yeah, I was going to pop in and just say the UFC, they basically own a complex like this that they will run most of their non-pay-per-view events out of. So they'll have like their contender series out of a venue in Las Vegas, and then just sort of your Friday night, you know, cable television fights will run off of that. So this is like what it reminded me of the most, is like they call it their Apex Center.
Interesting. I'm their demo here, right? Like, I love the video game golf. I love the sim golf. I like it. Like, I have no idea what this is going to look like, but I'm their demo.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, you definitely lose some of the allure of watching these guys in person, where you see what the ball does. And that is an amazing attraction. And seeing it through a screen is a different look. But at the same time, we're so much more familiar with numbers in the game, with ball speeds and spin numbers and apexes. And as a viewing audience, we know what that means. And in large part because we see it on TV, and we've had much more opportunity to do it in our own games and see what our numbers are. And so there is that connection there as well, where, you know, maybe you've never been to a PGA Tour event. You've hit balls in a simulator. You know what your ball speed is. You know how high it goes in the air. And when you see what they do, it can draw some attention. So, yeah, it's a very, very interesting concept.
Okay. I think that's a good stopping point. Obviously, there is going to be more and more information, and we are going to, over the course of the next couple of days, I'm sure, hear from different players on their reactions to all of this information and so on and so forth. But Greg, don't forget that pesky little tour championship where they give out $18 million to the leader. Yeah, that starts tomorrow. That starts tomorrow morning. So we've got golf. Golf has never been like of such a 24/7, 365 thing.
Kyle and I talked about this on Sunday. You know, the First Cut podcast, at first it was like, we're going to do this daily. Are we going to have enough? And now it's like, we should do two in a day. And here we are this week doing just that. So it's an amazing time.
Okay. Round by round recaps. Big thanks, not only to producer Jacob, who does all the hard work behind the scenes, but Greg Ducharme, who we were able to kind of put this emergency pod together last minute. You can find Greg at The Real GFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.